Fantasy Edge with Richard Seville and Dennis Sosik.
Hello and welcome to the Fantasy Edge. I am Richard Seville, FantasySixPack.net, and joining me shortly, Dennis Sosik, also of FantasySixPack.net. For the week commencing week 5, we shall be discussing the waiver rankings of fantasy pros and all the injury stuff. We'll catch you up on that. You know, I could talk to a wall all day, but we gotta have Dennis come in here. This is what he likes. Hello, Dennis.
Hello, Richard.
Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, it was very good. Yeah, thanks. How about yourself?
Yeah, I wasn't well. I wasn't very well this weekend. No, I kind of had a bit of the flu. So, kind of a lot of fever and all sorts of things. We're here to talk about football, not about the health of the hosts. we should talk about some of the latest news down the pipe. And the biggest news, and I will say this, I made a very smart move. Did you know I dropped Desmond Ridder and I picked up Kenny Pickett off the shelf on SFB just this week? I thought, I'll take Kenny Pickett. And I guess we're kind of not surprised. Maybe surprised was this soon. Kind of thought Trubisky might make it to the bye week, but you know, that's week 9. But thoughts on Kenny Pickett and what you saw?
Yeah, he energy with them as for sure in that offense. They needed it because Trubisky was, he was not playing very well. And the offense was suffering. And Tom went and finally had the realization that they had to do something about it. So at halftime, he decided to move on and bring Pickett aboard. And he played fairly well. I mean, he had some, the first pass he threw was bounced off of Claypool's hands. But it was more on Claypool than it was on Pickett.
Yep.
And, he had 2 rushing touchdowns. Showed a little moxie, he helped the offense. He helped George Pickens a lot. He made him, what he did in the preseason. So that was good to see.
Yeah, got a chemistry there.
Yeah, exactly. So they named him the starter already this week. So that's good. Good to see and see what he could do. I mean, he can't be much worse than Trubisky was. He was awful to watch. He was kind of brutal to watch him. So we'll see what he could do.
Yeah, I would have to say. I mean, through the first 3 games, I mean, they really not crisp the Steelers. They didn't look crisp after them. To be fair, Pickett didn't. He didn't actually trip the light fantastic.
Very true. But he did. I mean, he brought some energy to him, and that's what they needed. He was. They have the weapons on that offense, so he should be able to utilize better. And Trubisky, I don't know. I'm not sure what his. It seems like he has narrow vision when he plays. But hopefully, Pickett can bring out the best of those weapons.
Yeah, and plus he'll be getting first team reps now. I think that's one of the reasons why he was going to Pickens is because Pickens was. Probably the guy he was working with in preseason a lot during training camp. And you always see that. You always see that with the second round. The second quarterbacks, they're playing with the second team. And when they come in, we talked about that last week.
Yeah, I agree. That makes sense. Yeah, they got a little chemistry there and it showed.
Yeah.
When he came in, he was targeting him like crazy. So it was, he showed Pickens showed his ability and, he has a lot of upside, so he's somebody we'll probably be talking about very soon in our waiver wires. So.
Yeah, and it's actually looking like a downgrade for Claypool.
Yeah, Claypool. I don't know. He's been downgraded, for the last couple of years. I mean, I don't know what his deal is anymore, but Deontay was, he didn't produce that much, but he should have had a touchdown. He missed by basically like a toe from scoring a touchdown with Trubisky. But I kind of worry about. Yeah, I think Pickens didn't take a big upgrade, but other than that,
I think well enough. You can drop Claypool, I think. He's droppable.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree with that. And Freiermuth actually produced a lot too. Mm. He was getting targeted like crazy as well. So maybe it's sign of times to come, and you know, probably target, you should be targeting at least Pickens and Freiermuth when you can, as you can. So we'll see what they can do.
As a Browns fan, are you scared of the Steelers now?
I'm scared. I'm scared of my own offense. I don't even scare my other offense. Yeah, that play calling they Stefanski did. It's brutal to watch them. It's painful to watch them execute them. And they have Brissett played okay, but I mean, you know, throwing the ball away on fourth down when they're like on the 5 yard line. I mean, I don't know what Brissett's thinking there, but they just had some questionable play calling and questionable decisions. Their defense is a train wreck, and Joe Wood should be fired. Defensive coordinator, he shouldn't be there anymore. He's just killing it.
But you've got to beat the Falcons. And I mean, if you're an honest to goodness good team, you got to beat Falcons.
You would think so. Yeah. The Falcons are, I mean, you know, their offense is kind of helter-skelter, but, you know, they ran the ball down their throat. I mean, down the Browns' throat. I mean, they're just running the ball. I think he only had what made 20 through at most, I thought I saw. But I mean, they had every back on the team was, you know, going out there and having success against that defense. And it was brutal to watch. It was a little heart sickening for me to watch that.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I can talk about the Browns all night, so we won't do that.
No. We'll
my sorrows some other time. Yeah.
Yeah. But we got to talk about other stuff.
Injury.
Oh, I know that.
Yep.
Injury.
Rashad Bateman, foot viewed day to day. Probably not a big problem. I haven't read much up on his injury. It didn't really make the headlines. It was kind of one of those, kind of a sub headline. It says in the official news here, he was dealing with this injury a bit in week 4. Already. He's not, so he could miss week 5. He's like it say his day to day. So.
Aren't we all?
Yeah, we're all day to day. Well said.
So can't see anything better than that. All day to day. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, he was like, he tried to come back in after, you know, he got hurt a little bit. Then, you know, he took himself out. So, I mean, I think, you know, he's probably a little bit more, injured than he's letting on, but I don't expect him to play this week. I doubt he will, but you never know.
That was a great
modern
game.
Medicine these days. I thought it'd be better though. The Ravens went up on him quick, and then I was like, holy cow, what's going on out there? It was Baltimore defense that showed up, and then Josh Allen just started taking over, you know. He didn't have a great game, but he did enough to get the W, you know. So.
McDermott out, halftime adjusted Harbaugh.
Yeah, that's not saying much, though. Harbaugh's he's a trip. I don't know why he's I never thought that he was a good coach, and he's just he's proving himself over and over.
I think McDermott is one of the best halftime adjustment coaches.
Yeah, I remember when the Browns were looking to get him, and they thought they had him as their coach, and then they chickened out and got overruled by the owner, which we won't get into again, talking about the Browns. But I wish he was a Browns coach because I like his style. But that's another story for another day.
No, I mean, because I remember them demonstrating he would do things to see how somebody would, like, before a kick, he would take a timeout just to see how they would line up. So he had, I'll be able to take this to the locker room. And I forget who it was, Collinsworth or somebody like that. No, it was Romo. Romo pointed it out. That was a very clever thing, Jim. He's taking that timeout to see, because it was right at the end of the half. He took a timeout just to see how they line up in this situation. And he says, he's going to take that to the halftime. He did that on purpose. And I thought, and it started making me think about what the football brain of Sean McDermott. So he's a good halftime adjustment coach.
Yeah.
So smart. I ever since then, I've been watching for that. And so obviously halftime adjustments, Bills are very good this year.
Injury.
Dotson, hamstring, is expected to miss 1 to 2 weeks. People are kind of up on him right now. He was kind of hot, but he depends on Wentz playing better, which is a big ask at the moment.
Exactly. He started off hot as well, and then he's come back to reality the last couple of days. But, you know, especially, you know, Dotson dealing with the hamstring, I mean, those are tricky to deal with. You know, they say 1 to 2 weeks, but that's not written in stone, and I'd be worried about that. You know, hamstrings are, they can be very tricky to deal with.
Trying to see where I've got him in rest of season, Dotson. I've only got him, I shouldn't have him too low. Yeah, I do. No, he can't be that low. I've got to do it this way. There he is. WR49. I think it's a bit low. Maybe. Yeah, not maybe. Now.
Yeah. Of course not now, but yeah. But I think, yeah, I mean, like you said earlier, though, you're depending on when it's successful. If you want to bank on that, it's hard to bank on. I mean, that's why it's kind of maybe 50 is maybe a little too high, especially, well, obviously now it is, but yeah. When it comes back with that, now once you get that hamstring injury, it's, you know, it's very susceptible to get. There, you know, hurt it again. So now you're worried about that as well. And I mean, he relies on his speed, so that's another issue. So I don't know. I mean, that's probably someone that I would try to stay away from. If he comes back successfully, I'd try to move him if you can. If someone's willing to take the chance on him, maybe. But
I do have him. I don't know why I have him this low. Wide receiver finish week 1, 13, 17, and then 96. Then 20, then 20 just this week. But that's not saying much because, I mean, what saved his bacon was a touchdown, 43 yards and a touchdown. I mean, only 4 targets. He got targeted 8 times and only caught 2 passes. So, I mean, you can say there were 8 targets, but Wentz has been sailing those things. They might be going in his direction, and that's about it.
Right, exactly. You know, if he's throwing to the opposite team or his own team sometimes, because he throws some doozies out there. It's pretty. It's definitely an adventure when he starts throwing the ball out there.
But, yeah, when Wentz is bad, Wentz is bad. But I'm still going to put him up, just nonetheless, even though he's going to be out for 2 weeks. I might regret that, but I'm going to put him up anyway. I should have put him up before, too. I don't know. How did I miss that? Happens. All right. Brian Robinson. Oh, medically cleared. Could be activated soon.
Yeah, he did get cleared. So he did get activated, I believe. Yeah, that just came across a little bit ago. So, yeah, I mean, he won the job, you know, in training camp and preseason. And, you know, you could tell the Commanders are not big fans of Antonio Gibson.
So nope. I think,
I'm not a big fan of him either, but I think Robinson's going to have a good chance to, you know, take over the lead back role there. And he's efficient. He's more of a, he's not a big pass catcher, so he'll be more of a, you know, short yardage and goal line back, you know, but you got to have those two, and he can definitely score some touchdowns. So if Wentz can lead that offense a little bit, I think Robinson would be a good, if he's somehow available in your league, I'd snag him.
Yeah, well, if he's somehow available.
It could be, you never know.
People who have him stashed, they know.
You would hope, but.
Just going to take a look at Wentz's, Wentz started like a house on fire. 3, QB3, QB5, QB30, QB26. That's getting down there. He's shaking hands with Justin Fields there. Less said than him. Well, I don't know. I guess you could say there was some glimmer of hope for that. But anyway.
Injury.
All right. We got to talk about Tua. This is going back to Thursday now. He was carted off the field. It's going to be okay, but he's still going to be out on week 5 for Jets. Glad he's okay. I mean, that didn't look good.
No, definitely not. That was scary. That was scary. I started seeing, you know, his hands move.
It was like Parham. Remember the tight end for the Chargers that happened last year?
Yeah, right. Very similar, absolutely, yeah. So, I mean, that was very scary to watch. And I was like, holy crap, man, something's really wrong with him. And you could tell, like, when he got hit and he bounced his head off the ground and he started like, oh no, you know, and they started bringing out. And I'm glad he's 100% glad he's okay, of course, but that was some scary crap. I don't know if he should have been out there to begin with, but we could do a whole hour just on that. But,
well, yeah, I mean, the NFL, you know what I mean? There's all the investigation that was already in place for this, and now there's this, and messy situation.
Doesn't look good for the NFL.
I don't know, but he's been ruled out for week 5 against the Jets, so you're going to have Teddy in there. And Teddy's, I don't know, it's not bad. He'll be okay.
He's all right. Yeah, he's a good serviceable quarterback. He's not going to kill you, but he's not going to, you know, not going to win you. He's not going to outright win the game for you, but
well,
you know, he's a game manager. You know?
Well, you don't really quite want that. You kind of want to...
Well, perfect world. There's a reason why he's a backup.
Well, no. You don't want him as a quarterback in your fantasy team. You want...
Oh, definitely not. I'm talking about the Dolphins.
You kind of want Waddle and Hill to, you know, be unaffected too much. I mean, because Tua is given, you know, kind of the opposite of what Wentz is doing at the moment.
Right. He's actually boosting his offense. And
Yeah.
He's showing the Hills can actually be successful out of Kansas City. And I think Waddle's been playing hurt. So, I mean, I think that takes a little bit of steam off of him. But those two together are, you know, the huge weapons to have them. So,
yeah, we better move this along or it'll cut into our waiver time.
Injury.
With Cordero Patterson, he's placed on injured reserve. Kind of saw that coming. I mean, they overwork him for what he does. But Algier's the guy now. I didn't see the injury, but nobody did, actually. He kind of just vanished from the and quietly. So
injury.
And this is a big one. Javonte Williams.
Yeah, this one hurts. I have a lot of Javonte Williams on my rosters. And I saw that as I'm getting carded. I'm like, that's it. He's done. And unfortunately, it's true. He's going to miss the rest of the season with the torn ACL. And, you know, Melvin Gordon's going to try to take over. But he got hurt as well. But he's trying to come back. And he fumbled. So they kinda,
he looks terrible.
Yeah, he looks old, which is
Melvin Gordon good. Does not look good.
No, I agree. But I mean, he's going to get the ball. So
he's going to get the ball. Well, for how long? I mean, what are you going to do, Mike Boone?
Ain't much of a choice, I don't think.
I think we'll hear some news. They'll pick up somebody from a practice squad or something.
Well, you know, remember we were talking about a while ago about Alexander Mattison maybe getting traded. So maybe they reach out to Minnesota and try to get Mattison.
Mm.
You never know, depending on what they think of their team, him or even Kareem Hunt. I mean, Hunt's not, you know, he wants to get traded. Maybe they go out to reach for him as well. I mean, who knows? I mean, that's just that they can reach out to hopefully get their season rolling, keep it rolling. I mean, Wilson's not playing. He played okay yesterday, but he hasn't looked that great. But they have weapons on their offense, so he should do well. If they get a running game going, it can be.
I won't talk about Jonathan Taylor. He's probably fine. He just didn't practice on Monday. He's probably going to be in there. They play Thursday, I believe. Yeah. And we had a bit of a... sorry.
Huh? No, Brian, go ahead.
No, I was going to say that we had a bit of fun before the show started. Is that Andy Troutman hauled in 3 receptions in the Week 4 loss.
Can you imagine someone hearing just that part and saying, these dumb guys don't even know who the players' names are anymore. Why am I listening to them?
Well, we know it's Adam Troutman. We kind of kick around Adam Troutman a bit because, you know, he's annoying. Well, we'd like him to be a good fantasy player because he's got a cool name, Troutman.
Yeah, right.
You know,
whether it's Andy or Adam, either way. Yeah, but it is Adam. So
he was in the London game and he caught 3 passes. And it's just that they titled it a Fantasy Pros in the News. In the headline, Andy Troutman. And I was looking and I thought, I've had it wrong all this time. And I thought, oh my goodness, I've fallen for the Mandela effect. But it's... well, have you heard of that? I don't know if you heard of that. It's when you know, it's like Berenstain Bears.
Yeah, I know what it is. Yeah, it's funny.
But it's true. I mean, it can happen with anybody, right? So anyway... Adam Troutman caught 3 passes in London. There you go. And they got to sing. Oh, they got to sing "God Save the King" for the first time.
I saw that.
That was cool.
You didn't get to go to the game, did you?
No, I didn't go.
Yeah.
Too expensive and sold out.
Yeah,
those games sold out. Those games sell out like fast. I guess it's time to talk about waivers. The fantasy pros, you know, if Andy Troutman is anything to go by with fantasy pros, they're off to a roaring start this week with their Week 5 waiver racket. Well, we shouldn't say because these aren't necessarily just these fantasy pros. These are guys from all over the industry, like all the, you know, every website and his dog can rank the waivers. So we'll start off with the QBs and not a surprise, Jared Goff. Goff is playing pretty good. He's really
hell yeah, he is. Kind of top 12 quarterback, and you know, he threw for I mean, they have the Lions have number one offense, you know, but they also have the worst defense, which is, you know, usually a very easy recipe for an offense to do well. And he's doing well. I mean, plus, I mean, he wasn't playing with a lot of his weapons. I mean, he didn't have Swift, didn't have Amon St. Brown, didn't have TJ Shark.
That's
you know,
a good
point. Hockenson had a phenomenal game, you know, had like a top 10 tight end production in NFL fantasy history, which is crazy. But, I mean, he still played well. I mean, you know, he's a top 12 quarterback. And if you somehow snag him, just make sure no one else gets him to play against me, especially in those kind of matchups, and use him for bye weeks.
Yeah. He's got New England. Apparently, that's a tough matchup. But his finishes QB 18, not bad. QB 8, QB 18. And this week, with all the injuries, like, I mean, he didn't have Chark. He didn't have Amon St. Brown. I mean, he didn't have Swift to help with play action. But Jamal Williams was a beast, though.
Yeah, he was a beast.
But he finished number one, QB one. I think for the time being, I mean, he's a good start. But you know, he was never that bad on the. I don't know. I forget the criticisms we had about him because he was good on the Rams. I mean, people were.
Yeah, he just made some bad decisions at the wrong time. That's a lot of it with him.
Mm.
I mean, he'd make some bad interceptions, and he would be, you know, he couldn't handle pressure very well. So he was chastised out of there. They were waiting to get him. And Sean McVay just wanted to get him the F out of there, so they got him out.
I think the biggest surprise, well, before we get to... before we get to this one, I mean, like, I don't like Jameis Winston at number two. I just don't.
I'm not surprised by that.
They shouldn't have. I actually prefer the QB 3 to be number. I can't believe I'm saying this, but Geno Smith is playing out of his mind. I mean, quarterback finishes QB 15, QB 30, QB 7 in week 3, QB 2 right next to Jared Goff. Is Geno Smith his second straight? He's never had his first three. You know what? He hadn't had a 300-yard game since 2014. Did you know that?
That's crazy.
And now he's had two straight 300-yard games.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Seattle's defense is about as good as Detroit is. And, you know, he's outperforming Russell Wilson, who he took over. And Wilson's in Denver, and he's not. And Geno Smith is outpursuing him. So it's kind of ironic in a way, but it's great to see Geno getting some love finally after an interesting career.
He's a better quarterback than I thought. What is it? It was probably the Jets. I mean, he was playing, you're going back to 2014 when he started with the Jets. Who was that? Ryan back in those days? Who? I don't know. It's so long ago.
I know. But yeah, no kidding. I don't remember that far back. I think you're right, though. Probably was.
But, but I mean, here we go with 7-2. I mean, I think you picked him up.
Oh, you have to. Oh, yeah, especially. Well, obviously, you know, he's not going to be available in two quarterbacks, but if he's, available and you got a roster spot, you definitely got to grab him and Goff. I mean, put him on your bench.
Yeah.
And, you know, it could help you, especially with the owners looking for, some savior on the ones that they have Matt Jones and stuff. So he's somebody you should grab for sure. Should be on your bench.
Yeah. You got to pick him up. You can't go by, you can't go back past history. For me, they're 1-2. Right. I don't agree with the next one. Justin Fields at number 4. He was number 25 this week. That's nothing great.
Right. But, you know, I think why I'm thinking about Winston, why he is probably a 2. I mean, he didn't even play, you know, in London. So
right. It's
kind of weird. And Dalton didn't look good at all. So, I mean, if he's healthy enough to play, I think Winston plays and he's playing against Seattle. So I think that's more of the matchup than anything else. But, you know, I have a question for you. A little fancy question for you.
Sure, sure.
Real quick. So, you know, there's a lot of buzz going around about the whole thing about Alvin Kamara not playing in London. So what would you do if you're in your league and you're the commish and somebody in the commish says, hey, I didn't know that Kamara's out. So can I sub a player in because I didn't know Kamara's out. I slept in, didn't hear about it or whatever BS excuse they give you. Would you let him do it if you're a commissioner of the league?
I say it's tough luck. You know it's an early game. You know you got to play the game. I think you're out of luck.
I agree, 100%. Yeah, I couldn't stand listening to people trying to justify the fact that, well, yeah, you should let him put him on the bench and put a different player. I'm like, no, you put him in your lineup. if you didn't know, if you had any chance of him not playing, you gotta know about it, and you gotta be ready. Even if you're on the West Coast, and you have to get up at 6:30. Well, guess what? I mean, you have him in your lineup. You want to manage your team, then manage your team. Be available. Make yourself available so you know that the person's in or out. And if you find out, wait till the game starts, then go back to sleep. If you're so worried about your sleep, mm-hmm. So that's why I never agree with that. I can't believe in people even suggesting that it was okay to do that.
No, I mean, I made a point in my blurb view this week that, there are mixed opinions about these early games. I mean, they have to deal with it on the West Coast all the time, like 10 a.m. starts for.
Right, exactly.
And, if the people on the West Coast can't even do it for just 1 week, and it's only 9:30 on a Sunday. I mean, it's like, okay, you might want to, you could easily, the game time stuff comes out at 8 a.m., so you can easily go to church and do everything.
Yeah.
Exactly. So,
I couldn't stand that there are people that are even suggesting that that's even a possibility, That doesn't make damn sense, but maybe we're just old mean guys and we don't do that stuff, but I don't care what they say, I still wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Cause I can miss a couple of these and I wouldn't let anyone do that.
Right, I'm just gonna.
I'm just curious.
Yeah, no, I'd say no, I'm glad you agree. No, I say no. No, 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 no. It's your fault if it's unfair to the morning people.
Right.
I'm just gonna skip down a few guys. I mean, I don't want to talk about Ryan Tannehill, Matt Ryan. Yeah, you people who listen to this podcast, you can check out the list. But 6, 7, and 8 is Tannehill, Ryan, and Jones. I want to go skip right down to Kenny Pickett, QB9. This is, I guess, when you're down to this level, you're looking at, do you really want to stash Kenny Pickett?
Yeah, I don't, maybe if you're in a super flex league, maybe, but even then I'd be kind of worried about what he's going to do. Yeah. But you take the chance with him and, like I said earlier, he has the weapons around him. So he could, if he was halfway, everyone's rostering, Mitch Trubisky. So why wouldn't they, that's what I look at.
Mm-hmm. Down a little further, we got Jimmy Garoppolo and Teddy Bridgewater. Remember last week I was saying, come on, let's see what the kid's got. I want to see what the kid's got. I hope he gets out. Well, he got out there rather early.
Yeah, he did. Yep. He was forced out there. Now we know how to pronounce his name at least, right?
Yeah. Zappy.
Zappy, yeah.
What was my impression? What does the kid have? Actually, you know what? He looks a lot like Mac Jones.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I just, he's almost a carbon copy. I mean, he looks like Mac Jones almost.
Yeah, he does. Scary.
Yeah. So what is it with... His passing, looks rather. I mean, you know how Herbert looks sharp and like he zips the ball. Like Zappy's like he's accurate, but I don't know. It seems like his passes are like in slow motion a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit, to say the least. Yeah,
they're accurate. I mean, he's an accurate passer, but of course you're going to be accurate when you throw that slow. But you're also going to get intercepted a lot, which I think he was. Couple of times.
Yeah, he didn't look that fantastic.
He nearly won the game, though. He nearly won the game. I mean, it was close. It was went down to the wire. Went to overtime.
Yeah, it went to overtime. Yeah. I mean, they played well, but I think it was he just tried not to make a mistake. And, Belichick, Belichick to Belichick's coaching. He just started shots in enough to give him a chance to win, and, they almost had it. They almost won.
It was kind of like Pickett. He was kind of putting Bailey Zappi out there. Like, it was sort of like, kind of like how Tomlin was doing with it. It was sort of like baby steps with him, like, because you notice how that it was the same with Kenny Pickett. They sort of ran the ball a lot and didn't make him force him into too many throwing situations that were tough, like short stuff, keeping it simple.
Dumping it to the backs mostly.
So,
I mean, he did throw one touchdown. He had a nice throw to Devontae Parker. That was a nice play. Yeah. But other than that, not somebody I would pick up. Go out of my way to pick up that shot.
No.
No.
You might as well pick up Mac Jones.
Very true.
I mean, it's weird. I mean, it's weird that, what is it? What does Belichick see that? I mean, he's obviously in on the personnel.
Oh, he does everything. Yeah. I think he wants to find the next Tom Brady and get somebody that's not much of an athlete, but make him into a great quarterback. There's only one Tom Brady. Speaking of goats, he talked about
that. He lucked into Brady, but Bailey Zappi and Mac Jones are... I don't think you can form those guys into something even close to a Tom Brady. I mean, I don't think you can form any quarterback. I think he is truly a goat, but we could go on about that. Okay, running backs, obviously at the top, Tyler Allgeier. Yeah, I'm surprised Tyler Allgeier is owned in less than 50% leagues, because that's what these waiver rankings are. Is they come from players that are ranked in less than 50% of leagues. So
right. Well, it's kind of, in a way, it makes sense because you know, Patterson was taking most of the running plays, you know, in that offense. Obviously, now that he's hurt for four games, Georgia stepped in and took most of the snaps. But you know, they had, you know, Algier, they had Caleb Huntley running the ball there. So, I mean, I think they're going to split the load there. But, you know, I think Algier will be more of the passing game guy there. And Huntley will probably be the short yardage guy. But he's definitely worth the pickup in PPR league. But I prefer Algier over Huntley.
Mm-hmm. Finished RB20 this week. After finishes of RB53 and RB54, he wasn't... I thought more people would have him stashed, though. You don't know. 10 carries, 84 yards, and caught a ball for 20 yards. So, you know, RB23, that's in half PPR. So those other ones that I were telling you before, I forgot to click on the half PPR scoring.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I'm already, yeah. Oh, well, never mind. It's close. It's close. RB23 drops him a little bit, but after RB55, 55, and 23, he wasn't even active in week one. So yeah. Tyler Allgeier is going to be hotly sought after.
Yeah, he should be.
How much fab? How much fab?
Yeah, it depends. I mean, if you had Patterson, I'm thinking, I mean, how far would you go? I think I would go...
40% of your fab.
What's that?
40% of what you got left.
I don't know if I go that high.
30%.
I was thinking 25, but
25% of what you got left.
Yeah, I see some other guys here that I go after as well. I mean, if you know, next guy, Raheem Mostert, if he's still available, I grab him before I grab Jeer. Mm. I mean, he was getting the ball. He played more snaps. He was out-snapped Chase Edmonds for the third consecutive game. And he was getting the rock. He was actually catching the ball. He had 69 yards. As long as he stays healthy, that's always the big thing with him. His health is always an issue. But he's playing the Jets this week. I think I would grab Mostert ahead of Allgeier if I was looking for a running back.
Mostert's pretty good. Very underrated back.
Yeah. Just like I said, the only thing issue always gets with him is that he always gets hurt.
True.
So he's never
true.
He's hard to depend on. You know?
When he's out there, he's out there.
Yeah.
Brian Robinson, we talked about RB3. No surprises there. But I really think that RB4, Mike Boone.
Mike Boone, yeah, former Buckeye who's he's traveled around the league since
with the Vikings for a bit.
Right.
Was Denver, and now he's with Denver. Who is he? Was with somebody else in between? I don't know who.
Ravens. Yeah, I don't remember who that is, but yeah, he was. He's nice traveled, and I mean, he's going to get the opportunity there because you know, I mean, someone's going to share the backfield with Gordon if he plays. Hopefully, Gordon plays, but Boone's just he's just a body. I mean, he may get some, he'll get some carries and he may fall into the end zone, but otherwise, it's somebody that I wouldn't prioritize picking.
No, it'd be interesting. See what Hackett does, considering how.
Yeah.
Boy, he's not a very. What does he think of Hackett? I really don't think he's a. Well, he's. I don't know. I don't think he's a very. I don't know what to make of him yet. I won't write out the report card on him. For so far, I'm not impressed by this coach.
Not me either. He makes some horrible. Game time decisions, and he actually had to hire a coach to be a game time, for game time decisions, which kind of is funny in a way. But he's just maybe a little over his head now, I think. So
he's probably one of these. He's probably one of these team builder guys, which I don't think he's really that good at either. Because look what they paid to get. I mean, to get Russell Wilson, and Wilson is. You can see Wilson past his. This is past his prime Wilson.
Right.
I mean. Geno Smith is playing better than Russell Wilson. Now, granted, Geno Smith probably has the better weapons. It's arguable, maybe, but... okay, moving right along here. Speaking of Russell Wilson's former team, Ken Walker is RB5. Don't know about that. Rashad Penny had a pretty big game.
They had an awesome game. Yeah, I don't know why Walker's that high. I wouldn't pick him up, and I wouldn't prioritize him as number five. Definitely not. And the way Penny is playing right now, that doesn't seem logical to me now.
No, Penny's beasting it. He's what did he get? I think he was RB1, maybe. No, he was RB4. Still pretty good after, I mean, his RB finishes have been pretty busty looking. 36, right. 70, and RB34. So he had a big game. We'll see if he keeps it going, but tough matchup. New Orleans, Arizona. I'm just going by the red arrows here. So, so it doesn't look like a great, I still think you put him in because, you know, maybe he's hot right now. Maybe.
Right. And they're feeding him the rock, so I wouldn't take him at that point. No way. Yeah,
Ken Walker's a bit too high. Rachaad White.
I mean, this one is getting a lot of love. I see a lot of waiver wires looking at Rachaad White, but. Yeah, I think he's benefit of negative game strength when they were getting their butts kicked by Kansas City. And,
yeah.
You know, he got a lot of receiving volume. So, his stats and his playing time is very bloated in that offense. I mean, he looks a little better with Brady, you know, throwing the ball. But, you know, Fournette's still the guy there. I mean, he's like, you know, White's probably a good, obviously, long-term guy. You know, Fournette never gets hurt. What is good to have, and it's good to stash on our bench. Don't get me wrong, but if you want immediate gratification on your pickup, I don't think Woods to get
it. Yeah, it's kind of another. It was another one of those games where it was like Pacheco again.
Yeah.
When the game was well in hand, out comes Pacheco.
Yep.
You're not always going to get those games. You can't run out and get Pacheco. I guess you can. You can stash him because obviously if anything happens to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I mean, Pacheco goes straight in, so he's a great handcuff. So I guess you got to look at it that way. But
yeah, somebody could stash, I guess.
But you can't start him because you don't know if they're going to, you know, if they're going to get, into these games where they can sort of, you know, when it gets out of hand. But the Chiefs dominated the game.
They did.
Where are we at now?
Probably number seven. Kenneth Gainwell.
There's an annoying fantasy player.
But yeah, he scored a touchdown, but he didn't. He's taking obviously a big backseat to Miles Sanders, who's looking great right now. I mean, he's looking like the running back that we always wanted him to be. So I'm not sure why. I mean, Gainwell's a good handcuff, and he's good for to have as a stash. But I'm not really going after him per se.
Sanders is ahead of him, and you got to look at this too. Boston Scott was out, and he still only ended up as RB34 this week.
Right. Good point. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so it's kind of, plus Jalen Hurts takes a lot of the goal line work, you know, running the ball in. So, I mean, you're not going to get that type of work either. So, I mean, yeah, picking him at that number seven. I mean, there's not many people below him on this list that are attractive, really. But, I mean, I think top six or, you know, maybe besides Boone, top five out of the six are good. But other than that, I mean, you're just cherry picking, trying to get, hopefully you get lucky on one of these other ones that we'll talk about. But I mean, Deion Jackson, the Colts, I mean, you're really searching for that one. That's if Taylor doesn't play.
Yeah.
And Hines is, you know, gets hurt or something. But, I wouldn't even touch Deion Jackson. I'm not sure why. I can see why maybe he's on the list as kind of a sneaky pickup, but he's not going to do anything.
I'd rather have Jalen Warren, who's the next guy there.
Yeah, I agree with that.
He's a stash.
I mean, he's worth a roster spot. Handcuffed in the edge. He's averaging 6 yards a carry, and he has a lot of burst. So I would definitely stash him if he's somehow still available.
Yeah. Caleb. Yeah, you were talking about Huntley.
Yeah, he came out of nowhere. Looked pretty good against the Browns defense. He's more of a, like I said earlier, a short yardage goal line guy. I'm not sure how much time he's going to get on the field beyond that. So I'm not sure if I, you know, target him that aggressively with my fab on this. But somebody's going to, because they're going to see what he did. But I'm not wasting my time there.
I did not exactly see what Caleb Huntley did. I'm just going to check here. He finished RB21. Ooh.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, when I say RB21, I'm saying that's pending the Rams-San Francisco game, which is currently playing right now, which we are going to attend after this podcast, which is
absolutely,
which is we've got lots of time. All right, moving right along. Right, Craig Reynolds, like he was kind of a one-off until Swift gets back. Swift is week to week, so he might be back this week, might not be. I don't think there's Jamal Williams is the clear bell cow when Swift is out. There's no point. Right. Craig Reynolds.
No point at all.
Actually, Josh Reynolds was the man.
Yeah, exactly.
And he had a good game.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he looks good. I mean, they have that chemistry. I mean, Goff had that chemistry from when they're with the Rams together. So
yep.
That's kind of seemed like a good correlation, good pickup. You were able to pick him up.
I did. I had him in Scott Fish as well. And I also had him in Fantasy 6. But I tried to get him in the other one that we're in.
Yeah.
But I don't know, for some reason I didn't have priority for, because I bid zero and the other guy bid zero. And so I lost the tiebreaker somehow. The other guy, I think you should stash James Cook. I see James Cook on this list. You should stash this guy. I know he got nothing. He got absolutely nothing this week, but I've been looking around. Reading, trying to, see what the fantasy buzz is on this guy. And it's quite positive. Well, you do that,
Yeah, you have to. Yeah.
And so I just sort of seeing what people think about him and, here and there. And quite positive. And also, not just the fantasy people, but the real football people. I like to read what they say about him. And they think that he will ultimately move ahead of Singletary or start eating into Singletary's workload. Zach Moss is slowly getting out of the picture.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he should be somebody you definitely should target to stash on your roster, get a little spot, grab. Mm. Yeah, I mean, that offense, any piece of that offense is good to have, so I grab him if you have.
Now, here's a guy who had no business being in there. He's better. He is better than Mark Ingram.
Yeah, he looks a lot better, that's for sure. But he looks. Murray looks good.
I don't know. Well, granted, Mark Ingram had his own, he's a bit banged up, but Latavius Murray is, off the practice squad, all fresh and everything. So, I still don't think you pick him up though. I mean, it all depends on Kamara, but I think he's a better, if you're choosing between Mark Ingram and Latavius Murray, you pick Murray.
Oh yeah, easily. Yeah. I mean, especially, we got to worry about if and when Kamara's coming back. I assume he's going to be coming back this week, but this Sunday, him sitting out was kind of a surprise to everybody. So who knows what's going to happen with him coming back. Hopefully he does. And if he does, that kind of puts Murray on, almost as, sharing time with Ingram as the goal line guy, short yardage guy, which, I'm not sure if I want a piece of that at all. But as long as you know that Kamara's going to be out, someone you can try to target, maybe if you get him, for basically nothing in fab wise, I wouldn't spend too much on it. He could be one of those $0 bids that you get, but someone's going to bid more than a zero just because they look at the stats, see what he did. But
yeah,
I would hope someone else did it because I'm not going to.
Yeah, no, I'm not. You got to watch the fab money. And I blew a lot to get to I was desperate. It was one of those rage pickups, if there is such a thing. Okay, I guess we're moving on to wide receivers. Why don't we save the best for last for a change? Let's do tight ends first. We talked about Tyler Conklin last week, the tight end, and he's continuing his ways with Zach Wilson.
Yeah, it's good to see that he was. His numbers did take a little bit of a dip, but he saw more targets than Elijah Moore, so that's a good sign for Conklin. I think, as long as CJ Uzama is still out, I think it's Conklin is someone that's kind of was a big pickup for a lot of guys looking for a tight end streamer. So he's definitely worth a pickup. I'm surprised he's not picked up in more leagues by now.
Yeah, five targets. What did Ertz get? Ertz got six targets. He's right up with Goddard. What did he get? He got six targets. That's close to these guys. Kyle Pitts, what did he get? Kyle Pitts got four targets. Well, People are pretty upset about this. They're pretty mad at Marcus Mariota. Well, Marcus Mariota is favoring Drake London, which is good. Drake London people are happy. So be happy.
Yeah,
but he's forgetting. Yeah, he's kind of left in the cold with Drake London around.
Yeah, sad. I'm a big Kyle Pitts guy, and he's killing me a lot of leagues, unfortunately.
Makes me wish, I wish I got Drake London. I didn't know he's going to be a favorite of, well, the London people are pretty happy. Right. I guess that's all they could care less about Kyle Pitts as long as London is getting, you know. And yeah. London looks pretty good, man. He's
very good player.
Yeah,
he's definitely. Yeah, so if they ever get a better passing quarterback, Mariota is more of like a, I don't know, he's more of a running quarterback than a passing quarterback. And if you ever get someone that actually can throw the ball more accurately, London's going to be he's going to explode. I mean, I think he's going to vault to that WR1 territory, I think. But until then, we will know. But hopefully, they get someone to draft because they're still not going to be any good this year.
Mm-hmm. Well, just looking at, just checking out Pitts, he got, tight end 31, you know. I think our good friend, Andy Troutman ended up at tight end 20. So, Andy, I better not say that or I don't want to bother him too. But anyway, our good friend, Adam Troutman, he beat him. He beat Kyle Pitts this week. I don't know. Speaks volumes, doesn't it?
Yeah, one, scary.
One catch for 25 yards. You know, he hasn't. Kyle Pitts doesn't have a touchdown.
don't remind me.
He's got nothing. You must be pretty. It's Marcus Mariota. It's who Marcus Mariota. You must hate him. Anyway, I won't bang on that too long. But anyways, we got to get on with the rest of the waivers. Hayden Hurst. Robert Tonyan.
Yeah. Yeah, the rest of these guys are just streaming options. You know, like you said, Hurst, Tonyan, Logan Thomas. I mean, the only one maybe Irv Smith. I mean, he's shown a little bit. There's a lot of weapons in Minnesota, and Justin Jefferson exploded on in London. So it's good to see him bounce back after a couple kind of bogus days. But all the other ones you really look at. Even Evan Ingram is looking halfway decent, which is scary. But the rest of these guys, Mo Cox actually scored two touchdowns and
85 yards.
He's going to be picked up. Everyone's going to be talking to him, but I wouldn't touch him. It's kind of
I wouldn't say that too quickly because throughout his career, Matt Ryan has always liked his tight ends.
Yeah, he has. But I mean, was it last week or the week before they had rookie Jelani Woods, of course, touch. So he's a tight end. So I mean, whoever they rotate and they got the Kelly Granson tight end they throw the ball to a lot. So they have multiple tight ends there. He just happened to hit the lottery this week and he scored two touchdowns. But I wouldn't count on that every week. Definitely not. No way. I mean, it's obviously he has another two touchdown game the rest of the year.
Yeah, you could pick up Molly Cox, but don't spend any fab. Just put in a claim if you want him.
Yeah.
If somebody's hurt. But Tyler Conklin is the guy for me. I think he's the guy. Like you said, it was a bit of a down week, but he was there. He caught, what did you say? More targets than more catches than Elijah Moore? Yeah. All right. Yeah. There you go. Wide receivers, the biggie. Here we go.
Yeah. Who the number one's going to be? Yeah. Freaking Pickens. I mean, he looked like he was playing in preseason again. He looked phenomenal. He was getting a lot more passes. He took a big bump in targets, when Pickett got there. Finished with six catches, 102 yards on 8 targets. Huge amount of upside. And, as long as he keeps getting peppered with targets from Pickett, if he's available, probably a lot of people dropped him because he was in doing crap the first couple of weeks. But if he's available, you gotta grab him.
I think so. Because I think you're seeing the decline of, Chase Claypool. I'm not too sure because Pickett was still trying to get Chase Claypool as much as he could. He was targeting him quite a lot. I'm just going to take a look at his targets, Claypool. He got two, didn't catch anything, but he got two targets. For some reason, that seemed like more. All right, where am I at here? I was looking for George Pickens here.
Yeah.
Where are you, Mr. Pickens? I know I got him listed. George Pickens. I'm going to have to do it the hard way. All right. I hate doing searches, but there we go. I want to take a look at the stats. Okay. WR19, 102 yards and 8 receptions. Were they all from Pickett? Well, this is where you can really get mixed up. Pickens and Pickett,
Right, exactly. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're out with Pickett. I have to look it up, but I'm pretty sure that's he was. I mean, he saw a big bump in targets from when Pickett took over. So I believe it all came from it. But either way, I mean, I've been targeting Pickens everywhere I can.
Yeah, you got to do it. Deontay only got 4.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. Yeah,
that'll change. That'll change once he starts working with the ones.
Exactly.
I think, as you say, when you're in training camp, you're playing with the twos, and of course Pickens was a two, so he was in there. Michael Gallup played, didn't he?
He scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looked good. I mean, he only got 3 targets, caught 2 of them for a score. I love his upside. Dak coming back and the way this offense is going. I mean, CeeDee Lamb's actually stepping up to be a stud, WR1. And you get Gallup on the other side with Noah Brown being a 3rd wideout. I mean, that looks kind of crazy. And they got the running backs who didn't do very much yesterday, but I still think Gallup's upside in this offense is tremendous. And yeah, I mean, I think this week, if I'm, doing my priorities, I'm picking Pickens, Gallup, and probably Mostert. The top 3 guys. I'm just thinking top of my head, not looking at any of my rosters or anything, but I just based on talent alone and availability, I'm picking up those 3 as my top 3. But I love Michael Gallup. I try to pick up any leads and stash him on IR much as I could. I think he's going to be someone that's going to be an easy flex option for you for the rest of the season.
I have a feeling Jerry Jones is going to say. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, look at a lot of this. The Cowboys are 3-1 now, and Cooper Rush has brought them there. Jerry Jones is saying, "Are you sure you're okay, Dak? Maybe you should have another week."
Nice. That's scary to even think that, but I wouldn't be surprised with him. He's just, he shouldn't be running he obviously owns the team, but he shouldn't be running a team. Puts his nose in there.
Maybe it's better to take another week off just to be sure. And the next week comes, he says, well, these things take time and, maybe we'll get you back at practice,
Don't want to rush
it. We don't want to rush it.
That's crazy.
You never know with him. I mean, he wants to win, and if it ain't broke, don't fix it sort of thing. He's kind of like right now, he's kind of waiting for Cooper Rush to lose.
Yeah.
Which he hasn't.
Exactly. Which is scary.
It's scary for Dak because Jerry Jones is like that,
Yeah. He's definitely doesn't think straight. Now it looks as, I mean, I know you want him to, everyone wants to win, but Rush is playing decent. I mean, he's just not making mistakes. So Prescott can swing at a level that Rush never gets.
Right. Okay. Let's see. We have to quickly get through these. Isaiah McKenzie is kind of a no-brainer. Jacoby Myers was off this week, and yet he's number 3.
Yeah, I don't get that. Especially with the backup quarterback in. I mean, why? I don't get that. Number 3 doesn't sense. But
Mac Jones is week to week, am I right?
Yeah. I mean, they're so called going to play last week, but then they pulled him at the last second. We never know with Belichick. He probably tried to trick everybody to think he was going to play, preparing the chance. But, I don't know why Martin's even on here. But another player didn't play on Sunday either. Zay Jones didn't play.
That's right.
And he's on there, So, I mean, he's been producing. He's a good PPR guy. Mm-hmm. Lawrence Bailey, he fumbled like 4 times. I mean, he didn't kind of choked under pressure with that. The Eagles defense kind of harassed him into making a lot of turnovers.
Yeah, he didn't play too good. It was a rainy, horrible game, too.
Right. Add all that into it. And, you can see Jones, if he gets, say Jones gets back on the field, I think he'll be okay. I mean, if he somehow dropped because he wasn't going to play and someone had to drop him, I'd pick him up. I wouldn't prioritize him, but I'd pick
him. A lot of these names, we can sort of skip over, Russell Gage. I mean, come on.
No, that doesn't. He shouldn't be on.
Rondale Moore is maybe a guy we can talk about here because he came back. Let's see what his numbers were. Rondale Moore, we kind of expected a little bit from this guy because the only thing he did was downgrade Greg Dortch.
Right, I agree. Yeah, I thought they would ease him in a little bit, but he got some targets, but they always, it's like they always throw the ball to him behind the line of scrimmage, you know, like give him opportunity to, you know, to show his speed in the open field, which, I mean, I know he tries to find the line of scrimmage, he's ready behind the eight ball, and their offensive line's not that great to give him big holes to play with, you know, but you know, everything goes through Kyler, we all know that. Marquise Brown's looking phenomenal. He's been playing out of his mind. You know, that chemistry between them two is phenomenal. And then plus, you know, you got DeAndre Hopkins coming back. So I'm not sure if I buy into Rondale Moore being something that I would, you know, dive into really, you know, but people will because, you know, they'll, you know, you want to take the chance on him and see what happens. But I mean, I'd take him over, you know, Gage or Jarvis Landry that's here, MVS. Mm-hmm. All three of those, I think, I'd rather have Rondale Moore than those guys.
I think there's another guy on this list. I got WR14, Treylon Burks. He's injured, isn't he? Am I right?
Yeah, he got hurt. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure how far he is.
Another name on this list, Christian Watson. Number nine. He got involved in the game, but he was more like used in sort of, he scored a touchdown, but it was one of these gadget things.
Yeah, running play.
And then he was involved in another gadgety type thing, you know.
Like, yeah, trying to get him involved. I mean, he has the, you know, athletic ability to be an option for Rodgers. But I mean, you know, ever since he dropped that first pass, you know, week one, when he remember that one play, he dropped that ball, it was right through his hands. I mean, he's been like kind of eased back into the offense, but I don't think they're going to give him keys yet. You know, and Romeo Doubs has looked great. I mean, you know, he's stepped up, and Lazard's actually stepped up as well. So I mean, he's still going to be like lower on a totem pole, but I mean, if you have someone deep rosters, you could probably stash him. I mean, who knows? You know, it's a long season still to go, so I wouldn't mind having him at the end of my roster.
Sky Moore, did he get any garbage time?
Yeah, he got a couple of catches, I think. I mean, like, yeah, we always talk about, you know, that offense has so many weapons now, different receivers. I mean, they're not like phenomenal weapons, but they're, you know, they just, yeah, everyone's going to get a catch, it seems like. You know, he throws it to every MBS and Juju and, you know, we talked about earlier about CH.
Yeah.
You know, so everyone's getting catches there, you know, and they run some gadget plays at the goal line. They got freaking backup tight end running the ball in. I mean, it's hard to pick up a Kansas City guy right now because you don't know who's going to do what.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as you pick him up and, you know, after 1 week of being great, you know, next week he gets like one catch. You know, like, why did I just pick him up? You know, so I mean, you're going to get that with that offense.
But,
they looked great though. I mean, they destroyed that defense. I mean, holy crap. You know, Mahomes looked like he was a magician out there.
Yeah. It's a shame that at such a good offense like that, you can't get a good receiver. All you got it. Well, I mean, I guess you can count Kelce as the receiver there. So.
Yeah, he's a main guy there. He's still a stud. I mean, he's still unstoppable out there, you know?
Yeah. I think I would put on this list, I would put Jamal Agnew a little bit higher. His involvement interests me.
Yeah, I think a lot of that because Zay Jones was playing. Because, you know, Jones was playing. I don't think he would be even out there. I mean, he's been on the team the whole year, but we haven't heard from him because he's back up to the backup, you know, kind of. So I think if Jones doesn't play again, yeah, I'd pick him up, see what he can do. But otherwise, I wouldn't.
I'd put Dortch at the bottom now that Rondale Moore's back.
Yeah,
it was clear. It was clear. And look at Mac Hollins. I think he was right near the top last week. This week, WR16 on the waiver ranks.
Yeah.
Just goes to show you.
He didn't do crap, yeah.
Well, yeah, let's take a look at the, we have a bit of a Davante Adams watch going on.
He did good for you, for me this week.
Yeah, he did. He got, he didn't score, but he got 101 yards on 13. So he forced the ball, and he's not been happy. But they finally got the first win, and I guess they can be happy about that. But WR17. Oh, let me put it at half PPR. WR13. Let me put it at half.
There you go.
So, yeah. So, 3, 46, 32, and then 13. I mean,
he'll be all right.
He'll be all right.
Top 12. He's going to get there.
Well, yeah, I don't know. It's one of those cases, too, because what happened to Waller, though?
Yeah, I don't know what happened. He'd go to the wayside. I don't know. He's nowhere to be found. You know,
nowhere to be found. He's turning into Kyle Pitts.
Pretty much. Very disappointing, both tight ends, you know. And, you know, you invested deeply in them going into your drafts and stuff, and they get that kind of lack of production. That kills you. I mean, that just kills your team.
There's one guy left, though, the guy that really can catch a football, and that's George Kittle. He's playing tonight. I'll have to watch and see what he does, what he's doing.
Yeah, he's like a throwback football player. You know, I mean, do whatever you want. He catches the ball, runs through people, blocks like a, you know what, and yeah, he's like an old school player. I love watching play.
Cool. Well, are there any other players before we wrap this up? Because we've got a couple minutes left in the podcast, so.
Yeah, and one player that's on the list that we didn't talk about, considering the offense, is Jameson Williams. I mean, I know that they have, you know, injuries and stuff, but when he gets back, I mean, you put him with Amon-Ra Brown and that offense. Yeah, I would, if he's available, I think I'd try to stash him over, like, Zay Jones or Joshua. I don't know, Joshua Palmer, I still think ahead of him, but Corey Davis. I mean, he was getting the ball out too with Zach Wilson there. But, I mean, he's somebody I would consider stashing. You could, if you have IR spots in your roster, I'd throw my IR and keep him there. So, see what he, you know, I mean, it's worth a shot.
Good idea.
If he can, you know, if he gets healthy and that offense, the way they throw the ball and the weapons that are surrounding him, he could do some damage. Maybe somebody that could help you at the back end of the year.
Right. So that wraps it up for week 5 of the Fantasy Edge. Thanks for joining us. I'm Richard Seville for Dennis Sosik. Join us next week on the Fantasy Edge and have a good waiver time. Take care.